Hi, I'm Chris Spezak, and this is the Words You Should Know podcast. Why do I call this the Words You Should Know podcast? It's not a lecture. The whole idea of grammar police annoys me. This is the podcast that reminds you that Ben Franklin and Kurt Cobain both influenced our modern English language, and that spelling memes deserve to be debunked. See past episodes for those details. Let's start with Franz Kafka. And if you're thinking of the author of The Metamorphosis and having flashbacks to a story about a man transformed into a giant cockroach-like bug, your mind is in the right place. Now, one of my favorite quotes from Kafka is, "Follow your most intense obsessions mercilessly." What are your most intense obsessions? It's a good question to ask yourself, isn't it? And are you following them mercilessly? For some of us, that obsession is writing, storytelling, and changing the world in our own ways with our words. For others, it can be so many things. Maybe your most intense obsession has to do with sports, and you know what? That's okay too. And that's where we're going with today's podcast. Do you know what's been bugging me for an awfully long time? Why do we, in America, call soccer, soccer? Why isn't it football, as the sport is throughout most of the rest of the world? Football makes sense. In soccer, you're using your feet. In American football, there's minimal kicking involved. Do the kickers and punters get all the attention? Hardly. So what's up with that? Here's what we need to know. We've talked about the differences between American and British English before. Here's looking at you, rebellious Ben Franklin and Noah Webster. But this isn't quite as clear-cut as you might imagine. Let me ask this. Who first used the word soccer? Was it someone in England or the United States? Answer, England. Yep, it's true. You didn't see that coming, did you? I know I didn't. The word football has meant a few things over the years. In 1863, when England's Football Association drafted its official rules, there was another type of football in the mix. This was called rugby football, a variety that originated in the rugby boarding school. But in the world of sports, so many things gain shorthand names. Rugby football was often called rugger in the 1880s. And association football, as it was called, was nicknamed a soccer, A-S-S-O-C-C-E-R, stemming from that association name. A soccer was further shortened to soccer, S-O-C-C-E-R, or S-O-C-K-E-R, but it was never a widely accepted term, just a nickname among players. By the 1900s, rugby was just rugby, and football became simply football for most of the world. But by then, the Americans were doing their own thing. They took these two old football games, rugby and association football, and merged them to create their own game, which they dubbed football. Both rugby football and association football were a part of it, so the name made sense. Absolutely. Logically. Sure. Just not on a global scale. So to distinguish the new American dubbed football with association football played across the world, Americans borrowed this soccer term. And the rest is history. And now you know. American inventiveness. Borrowed vocabulary. It's really the story of so many other language explorations we've touched on, isn't it? But football, of course, is hardly the only word that stems from a body part. I love this and I have to share. Football. Ball you kick with a foot. Makes sense. A few other body part words are a bit more surprising in this category. They include gargoyle, hysteria, genuine, and handsome. The word gargoyle comes from the old French word for throat, because the stone statues not only look fierce, but also redirected rainwater away from the building they perched upon with water flow through their throat water spout. Gargoyle. Hysteria, much to the annoyance of modern women everywhere, comes from the Greek word for the womb, because it was once thought that hysteria came from an imbalance in the uterus. Hashtag sigh. Genuine, meaning the real thing, has a slightly confused origin, but it seems it may come from the Latin word for one's knee, because a father would be able to assess a child's true paternity by placing the child on his knee. Hashtag yikes. And then there's handsome. This one is so obvious, and yet so not. You might not be thinking about hands when you think about someone being handsome, but that was the original connection with this word that has had its meaning transform time and time again over the years. Handsome once meant something that was nearby or at hand. Later, it meant something appropriate. Then it meant something skillful or someone generous. It wasn't until the 1500s that it meant good-looking. So, should we talk about the genuine hysteria over a team called the Gargoyles? Maybe, despite their name, their players are actually quite handsome. Who knows? I don't know about you, but at least I'm feeling good about having all of that soccer-football confusion settled. What's next on your list of intense obsessions? How about a powerful use of language? Yep, I'm with you on that one. Are you curious or confused about the words you use every day? For more information, there's my book, An Elements of Style for the Twitter Generation, called Get a Grip on Your Grammar, 250 Writing and Editing Reminders for the Curious or Confused, available wherever books are sold. You can also sign up for my monthly language exploration newsletter at getagriponyourgrammar.com. And stay tuned for more details on my next book coming out in January of 2020, The Novel Editing Workbook, because finishing a manuscript is amazing, but writers still need to finish the job. It's a compliment to get a grip on your grammar for all the storytellers out there. And until next time, words, language, communication. You've got this.